Studio 360.
I've got a weakness for statistics and graphs and charts, and another weakness for literature. So this new book is very deep in my sweet spot. It's called Nabokov's Favorite Word is Mauve: What the Numbers Reveal About the Classics, Bestsellers, and Our Own Writing. Ben Blatt analyzes famous novels statistically, and he has unearthed some fascinating patterns. For instance, did you know that the female pronoun she, and this is kind of amazing, only appears once in The Hobbit? Or that James Joyce uses more exclamation points than pretty much any other legit author? Anyhow, Ben Blatt, welcome to Studio 360.
It's great to be here talking with you.
So did you study statistics in college? Is that a thing you knew?
I was an applied math and stat major, and, you know, I've been writing kind of as a data journalist covering pop culture and doing some consulting for other organizations as well. I just wanted to know how kind of these books are actually constructed instead of sometimes relying on subjective advice that whoever throws out there may not be backed up by fact.
Well, and as we all knew from junior high school English classes, when teachers told us, oh, the symbolism is this, that of course the author never intended. And of course, even though the author probably doesn't intend any of these things you've discovered, they are like some form of fingerprint or blood type or something fairly unique, right?
Right. You know, one kind of thing that made this book possible is that writers are consistent from book to book and really years and decades later. It's not that in one book they write one way and in one book they write another way. There are some kind of words and patterns and techniques that they use that are remarkably consistent over the course of their life.
I was interested to read that there were these guys back in the day in the early 60s who sort of established the model that you're using, yeah?
Yeah, so, if, you know, it was two statisticians in the 1960s, and they literally cut pieces of paper, and, you know, even at one point a graduate student sneezed and all their work got destroyed for the day.
Because there were no electronic texts then, right?
There were no electronic texts, which made it very difficult, but even using very simple methods, it's actually remarkably consistent, even with the technology from the 1960s. Now, you know, helped out with computers, but the same methods, you can still pick out the authors because their writing is so consistent book to book and work to work.
So you one thing you write about, and this makes sense, but I'd never heard the term of art, that authors have their own special cinnamon words. Explain what a cinnamon word is.
So cinnamon words is kind of this term that I phrased to describe a phenomenon of a word that a particular author likes to use often throughout their text at kind of an extreme ratio compared to all other authors. And kind of the motivation for looking at this was I had read this book that just asked authors their favorite words, and Ray Bradbury said, "My favorite word is cinnamon because it reminds me of my grandmother's pantry."
The tomb breathed out a sick exhalation of paprika, cinnamon, and powdered camel dung.
There was an insect sound, which grew large among the cinnamon hills.
The cinnamon dusty road.
Don't they smell like cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
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 Now I hover like a dust, a cinnamon, upon the soft wind.
So he's using it all the time, and kind of building on that, I wanted to look at, you know, hundreds of other authors to see, were there other similar words that were jumping out of a writer's kind of inner voice?
What are some other well-known authors' cinnamon words?
So I think, you know, the one cool thing with this cinnamon words experiment is that not always, but most of the time, once you hear the words, or maybe even just hearing the words and not knowing the author, you could kind of guess who the author could be, or at least what they're writing about. So civility, fancying, and imprudence are the cinnamon words of Jane Austen.
Yeah.
He answered me with the utmost civility.
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 His formal civility was...
His imprudence had made her miserable.
It was the imprudence which
had brought... I cannot help but fancying that she...
Fancying.
Fancying.
Fancying. Fancying himself so very great.
Fits in with her whole aesthetic very well.
Do you have a cinnamon word in your writing?
Overall, probably is probably my favorite word.
And you also talk about how different authors use cliches. Now, cliches is not as easy to define. How did you define cliches?
I was really looking at phrases that are overused time and time again. So I relied on this book called The Dictionary of Cliches by an author named Christine Ammer, and there's over 4,000 cliches in it. Everything from, you know, fish out of water to dress to kill. And the most cliched author in my sample was James Patterson, who's kind of the most sold author in America and is known to output books at an extreme rate, and he uses about 160 cliches per 100,000 words. And I even have like a little sample just to give you a sense of how this kind of reflects in the writing. This is a piece of dialogue from his book.
"But if it gets you Mary Smith, then everything's okay, and you're a hero." "Russian roulette," she said dryly. "Name of the game," I said. "By the way, I don't want to be a hero. It goes with the territory." She finally smiled. "America's Sherlock Holmes. Didn't I read that somewhere about you? Don't believe everything you read."
So you can kind of tell that this
was
like...
That was one passage.
This was one passage.
You didn't make that. Wow.
This is just from a James Patterson novel. Of course.
He was going for the goal.
He really was.
That almost sounds as though the person who wrote it was like going ironic and saying, how many cliches can I stuff into these 150 words? Okay, it's time for me to go in your MRI machine. My producers gave you my three novels, Turn of the Century, Heyday, and True Believers. And you did whatever magical statistical analysis you did.
This will be a bit of an experiment to see how writers react to their own rating under the analysis. So we will start, I think, with the cinnamon words.
Okay.
And these are words that you use at an extreme rate.
Okay.
So your top three cinnamon words are bullshit, fucking, and unsmiling.
I'm proud of those. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
So I did also make a PG version of that list just in case
the other three
weren't good for air. So the cinnamon words, the PG ones, were unsmiling, randomly, and fake.
"Unsmiling costumed panthers then, and unsmiling costumed rappers now.
Tall and unsmiling.
Of a bruised, unsmiling mouth."
He grabbed at a new thought, randomly.
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 "Good fake aristocratic furniture for the good fake aristocrats.
Fake.
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 Fake enthusiastic, utopian zombie voice."
And at least for me, unsmiling was really the word that jumped out, because I don't think I've ever used the word unsmiling in my writing or even in conversation.
Interesting.
And you were using that about 16 times, and I was kind of curious if that's a word that you use in your day-to-day conversation as well.
Not probably once, I think, in my life, but I'll have to ask my family if I've ever used that word. So unsmiling, randomly, and fake. Interesting. Interesting. But I like the R-rated one better, actually, although I like randomly and fake are okay with me as well. So how about my cliché quotient?
So the clichés that you use in all of your novels, I will give you some credit that they're not the most egregious at all. I think they're kind of just how people talk. But beginning of the end, really and truly, and bleeding heart.
"The beginning of the end was nigh, for the gold rush had begun."
That artsy cop show they have with that bleeding heart actress.
Total bleeding heart liberals.
Bleeding heart.
Bleeding heart.
PG may be really and truly mad.
Whenever she would ask if Ben really and truly loved her.
Really and truly.
Really and truly.
Really and truly.
Could Alex really and truly have forgotten what happened?
Those are identified in the Dictionary of Clichés. And overall, you were at 119 per 100,000 words.
That's fairly high.
So fairly high. Lower than maybe the New York Times bestseller cliché rate.
Right.
But significantly higher, you could say, than some of the Pulitzer
Prizes. So it's really the worst of both worlds. It's too many clichés to win Pulitzer Prizes, but not enough clichés to be a bestseller. I got to switch it around one way or the other.
Well, I do hope that this changes your rating. I hope not too drastically, because it was already going fairly well before.
Well, when a fucking kid like you gives me this bullshit, I'm kind of unsmiling about it. You know what I mean? So I actually am working on a book with Alec Baldwin that is a parody of Donald Trump.
I've heard, yes.
So do you think when I'm done with that, and obviously there will be a lot more fantastics and tremenduses and people are sayings than I would ordinarily use?
And a lot of people are saying.
People are saying. Many, many people are saying.
A lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are saying.
A lot of people are saying.
Tremendous.
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 Fantastic.
Really fantastic.
Fantastic.
Do you think you'd be able to see the Kurt Anderson fingerprints in there apart from the deliberate Donald Trumpisms?
I do think we'd be able to see. I could do a little comparison to see which words that Donald Trump uses all the time that are missing from your book.
Right.
But overall, I do still think that there are plenty of words and structures that are just going to be unable. You'll be unable to remove them from your writing. And no matter how hard you try, it will be Kurt Anderson and Donald Trump and Alec Baldwin all in one.
We'll reconvene and see that. It's interesting that you say that because it was interesting to read your book as I was preparing to work on this one because I made my own little handmade. I have my own little glossary of, a couple of hundred terms and phrases Some of them familiar, some of them less, that he uses. So I was just doing artisanally what you've done with your massive computer power. Well, good luck. This was a great debut. And as you could tell, completely fascinated me. So thanks.
I'm happy you enjoyed it. It was great talking with you.
Ben Blatt's Nabokov's favorite word is mauve is now available everywhere you buy books. If you're listening on the radio and want to hear that story with none of those bleeps, you can listen to the unexpurgated digital version at studio360.org. And while you're at it, subscribe to our podcast there or through iTunes or wherever you go to get your podcasts.